Hello and welcome to the EV Cafe Takeaway, a podcast focused on the zero emission future that we all hope for. And this one is a little bit different. So normally you'll find us online, right? You know, we're all in different parts of the world, but today we're together.
I know.
So exciting. And we've always got a member of the EV Cafe team on the job, and it is John. Welcome, John.
Greetings. Hello, everybody. Very excited today. Just buzzing with excitement because this is somebody that I have known for a couple of years and thought I knew. But I don't think I do, but I might do by the end of today.
So let's tell you about this person. Well, we're always looking to talk to the innovators, the pioneers, and the collaborators of our wonderful industry. And today is without doubt no exception. We have the lovely Esther Jones. Fantastic. Thank you, Esther. Esther from the AA, what is your official job title? What do you do?
It sounds very fancy. Okay. I'm the commercial account manager, allegedly. what that actually means, my role is actually split into three. Okay. So first part, I look after affinity partnerships and buying groups. Okay. What I mean by that is large membership organisations. I deal with them to give their members a good deal on breakdown cover, point of contact, a human face behind a very large
like the British Chamber of Commerce.
British Chambers of Commerce, Business Barclaycard, IPSI, and all those sorts of membership organisations. So yeah. I'm point of contact. I deal with everything from new business, setting them up, fielding complaints, helping with marketing, helping with legal. So I'm the person in the middle. Mm. And then I can then ask my other colleagues to help me with bits and pieces where they actually specialise. But everything comes through me. So they have one voice, one contact.
Yeah, brilliant.
So that's the first bit. Mm-hmm. The second bit is I look after small, medium enterprise accounts. That's from anything from one vehicle, your one-man band, sole traders, up to 500 units.
Right.
So I look after those, new business again, single point of contact. And then the third piece, which is fairly new to me, is I'm the point of contact for the charge post operators. So we take calls for quite a few companies. If the drivers are stuck at the roadside or they're having problems charging their vehicles, I manage that relationship as well.
Wow. There's some serious bandwidth you've got to cover there.
Yeah.
And not least, I'm guessing, for those charge point operators, that is, I mean, I know you're not the person at the end of the phone, but the service that the AA provide for those charge point operators is fantastic, isn't it? Really giving the user a good experience at the charge point.
Yeah. So initial thoughts with that, it's a bit of a minefield.
Right.
The operators who take it are fantastic because every CPO wants something different and they have to switch just like that to provide that service for their customers. Mm. So yes, it's really good what we do.
Now, little fact that we discovered.
Oh.
Is.
About who?
How long have you worked for the AA?
32 years.
Oh my God. A founder member of the, of the AA. I was going to say
the EV Cafe.
Of the AA. My goodness. That's incredible. What got you into the AA in the first place?
It wasn't intentional. That's the first thing. Mm. It never normally is it? So I had a very young daughter. I think she was 4. And all I wanted was a little part-time job. That was the aim. Little job just to do when she's at school. That was the aim. And I remember seeing this little advert in the Evening Mail, just when there was no online jobs, little adverts saying such and such wanted European cover hours from 10:30 till 2:30. I thought, great. Perfect. Didn't mention the company's name in the ad. Mm-hmm. Went for the interview. We were AABRS. At the time, so it's AA, half AA, Hard British Road Services. Did the interview, got on really well with, you know, when you just click with somebody, clicked with the manager, came back, got the job. And I remember him saying, when I started, he says, just to let you know, Esther, this will never turn into a full-time role. It's definitely 10 till 2:30, and that's it. I says, that's absolutely fine, because it worked to take my daughter to school, do my hours, finish, and enough time to pick her up and come home. And it just started from there. So when I started, we'd just been taken over by the AA. So we'd lost British Road Services and it was AA.
Wow. So, gosh, that, I mean, that's a journey, isn't it?
Yeah.
A journey of 32 years and you're still here.
I am.
If you were to put that down to one reason why you're still here in the AA, what would that be?
Ooh. I think in business services, it's actually more like a family. So, you know, you don't always have, things don't always go the way you plan. It's not always good. You have bad times. But for me, working for an organisation where they see me as a person with needs, potentially sometimes, and how they've reacted to those needs is really important. Like I said, it's been good and bad, but when it's bad, I've had the support that I've needed.
Amazing.
And in recent times, you've moved into this new role.
Yes.
You haven't always done this.
No.
And there's a legend called Dean Hedger who did the role before you. Those are big shoes to fill, aren't they?
How Not have, least because they're size 30.
Yeah. How have you gone about establishing yourself in that role? Because everybody knew, Big Dean,
yep.
AA.
Yeah.
Suddenly, Esther Jones, AA.
Yeah.
How's the transition been for you? Because I think from the outside, you've changed and grown. How's it feel from the inside?
I think one of the first things I said when I was asked to do it, to do this role, is that I'm not Dean Hedger. Mm. So I'm not going to try and fill his shoes. That's an impossible task. Dean did things his way. I'll do things my way and I will just be me. Mm-hmm. Because that's when I'm most comfortable. I'm just being me. And to the thing that I've found, I do a lot of self-reflection. The things that I've found is being able to talk to people, being open and honest with them. That's me as a person. Mm-hmm. So that's the skill that I fall back on, whether I'm speaking to you or anybody. That's what I fall back on. So I didn't go in with the intention that I'm going to try and replicate what Dean did, because I'm not. Dean, he's got different skill sets, so I'm just going to be me.
What works? What really works for you? Being Esther,
yeah,
and out in the world doing what you do,
yeah.
What would you say is the one thing about you? You've talked about honesty and openness. Yeah. Lots of us would claim that,
yeah.
But there's something very special about you, and I you're very open, and that's one thing that I find. Would you see that in yourself, that you're a very open person, able to take input, able to flex, change, develop, grow, and push forward? Because you've grown massively in the last year.
I think the thing that I've found most of all is that I can actually speak to anybody. Mm. So I will either mimic or whatever it is, I can connect with somebody and get to their level and speak the language that they understand. So I think that's one of the things that I've recently realised, and other people have then commented on that skill. Mm. But it's just about being yourself, isn't it? And making that person you're talking to feel comfortable, that you're actually listening to them and you're engaging with them. And even sometimes if they're saying things that your opinion is different, but acknowledging that's their opinion, that that's important to them. So I think that's what's important.
Great. Yeah. Be authentic.
Yes.
So, 32 years in one business.
Yeah.
It keeps going on.
I know.
No. But so, first of all, we could be kind and we would and say there's no chance that you look old enough to have been 32 years in one business.
Yeah.
But equally, and have a daughter that was almost at school age at the time that, and be as resilient and adaptable and flexible as you are.
Yeah.
Talk to us about the person before all of that. What was that person looking like as you grew up? Because these are skills and strengths that you've built over time, but they have a foundation. What is the foundation of those?
The person who started the AA obviously is not the person that you see now. So the person that started was very shy, very still introverted to a certain extent. And sometimes when you are pushed into a situation, it's definitely fight or flight.
Sink or swim.
Yeah, sink or swim.
Yeah.
And I always put myself down as a fighter. So I will fight. And then that fight in me became more natural and easier. So then it was an unconscious thing. So where some people might shy away from learning something new, I get to a state where I think, I've mastered this now. I can't take it any further. I need to go and do something else. I put everything into it. Somebody else now with fresh eyes need to come in and do that. So I think that's the difference. But it's the introverted person. I think when we first met, you were the first person I met at the first event I ever did. And I remember thinking, oh.
He does that to me.
But I think is mastering that, when you do the self-reflection, which I do, is recognising yourself and actually using that, you flex and you you move whichever way you need to.
And where did that self-reflection come from? Because, I mean, that's not everybody
practices. It's only recent. It's a very, very recent thing that I've started doing. During the year, I've been in certain situations where I've reacted in a certain way that I wasn't quite happy with. I've had triggers. You know what a trigger is. Yeah. And I thought, why have I behaved like that? And I didn't like that person. Anybody else on the outside wouldn't have seen that. But obviously, I know what I'm like. I'm the best person who knows me. And I thought, oh, I didn't like the way I reacted. It's very subtle things. And the question then is, why did I react like that? Why did that thing trigger me? So I started talking to my friend. I've got a really good friend that I can unravel all the layers and be 100% honest. And she gives me honest feedback or honest opinions back. So I started asking myself the question, well, why am I doing that? And then I read something somewhere about self-reflection, meditation, talking out loud, and actually asking a question, but being really honest with yourself as well. Because you can tell yourself anything, can't you? And you can believe it. But it's to say, what did I do that? Oh, actually, I know why. And you think, okay, the trigger was this, and I'm not going to do that again. And then you just start to grow. But it's being really honest with yourself about, you know, sometimes your behaviour isn't what you want it to be.
Yeah. Would you say that you're going through a purple patch, that actually your life is one where you're happy and content and all is well with the world? Or are you constantly, like many people, balancing that some things are working well and other things less so?
Why purple? That's the one. That's my question to you.
I'll tell you what, let me reframe the question. Yeah. Yellow patch. You're going through a yellow patch in that you are embedded in the AA.
Yes.
Absolutely. Some might say 32 years in any one place makes you institutionalised.
Yeah.
You're not.
No.
You're a free thinker, and you seem to revel in the challenges that the AA give you to work on. Is this the finished article?
No.
That's what I'm getting to.
No.
So in order to be the best you can be, do you need to have tough times, down times, times that test you? And are you having those now?
Yes.
Can you give us an example?
Yes, to all of them. So even in so the first bit of my job is the bit that I know without even thinking about it. But then that can get really boring, can't it, if you're doing the same thing day in and day out. But there's always something where somebody asks you a question, and I've gone through it, and I thought, oh, I don't know the answer to that. I need to go and find out. I need to go and speak to the expert. But then I'm learning something, aren't I? So I think, oh, next time I get asked that. But then I never get asked that, then I get something else, then I get something else. So the fact that I've worked for the AA for 32 years doesn't actually mean anything. It's just I've been in this organisation for 32 years, but I haven't been doing the same job for 32 years. And then there's a difference.
The world has changed.
So different to when I started to what it is now. And I think it's important to have a real open mind that what happens today is today, but tomorrow that's history. And then what happens tomorrow is your life. But you've got to use all those bits that you learn to help you to be that better person going forward.
Yeah. Did you have somebody in your formative years that helped you frame who you are, or is that something you've done as an adult?
So I'd normally think of people who I've worked with, if I would think. So I remembered when I first started, we had a managing director. His name was Ray Coombs, and he was the loveliest man. And he was very senior. But I remember starting at the AA, and he walked through and says, "Good morning, Esther." It was my first day.
Wow.
But then watched him walk through the office, "Good morning," by name. So he knew everybody in that company by name. What, isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
I can't even remember people I met. Yet. I can't, I'm really bad. But he knew everybody not by name. So I'm thinking that's a real skill, but very personable. So he makes you feel like, actually, I mean something to this organisation. So that's quite nice. I would have to say my mum and dad.
Yeah.
Mm.
What did they give you?
It's two sides of a coin here. So my mom was a force to be reckoned with. She was only short as well. She was very strong, very outspoken. And my dad was very laid back. So they were yin and yang, weren't they? But they really complemented each other. But for me, it's their work ethic. My dad never had a day off sick in his whole life of working when he was alive. So I think it's that, you know, no matter what, you get up, you go to work, make sure you do a good job, you come home, that's it, it's done. So I think my mum and dad, and actually my daughter. So even though, you know, you learn from older people, but can you also, you mustn't forget, you can learn from younger people. Mm. And my daughter, I think, she's an inspiration. Because she teaches me things, I'm thinking, oh my God, I didn't even know that.
Wow.
But there's a way to teach people, not to make you feel stupid, but, "Mom, did you know you could do it like this, or you can do it like that?" And to see the fact that I've brought her up with her dad, and she's turned that the way she has, it makes me really proud.
Yeah,
so really
you should
proud.
Be. Life doesn't always go swimmingly well, though. And there are times when you've had to face into a very, very strong wind.
Yes.
Can you talk to us about a time in your life that really tested you, made you pull out?
I've had quite a few, John.
Pick one. But you're prepared to share. Because I think that's important. I don't want to take you places you don't want to go. But by the same token, it's a formative experience. You talk about growing and developing.
Yeah.
And we learn more through failure than we do through success sometimes.
Absolutely. That's a good question. Which ones I can share? There have been personal and work-related incidents, I should call them. I was just saying about the fight or flight syndrome. There was an occasion, actually, it was work-related, where I thought, that's it, I've had enough. This is work. I can't do this job anymore. Because I wasn't getting the support that I needed. There were derogatory comments. And I thought, I don't want to work in that sort of environment. And I remember speaking to somebody in my team, actually, because I was managing a team at the time. And I remember the person just said to me, "Are you okay?" And I went, "No, I'm not." Because she caught me in that moment where literally all the guards were down. "Are you okay?" "No, I'm not okay." Mm-hmm. And it was then that next question, "Well, what's the matter?" And then it all just came out. And I just said, "I don't think I can do this anymore."
Mm.
And she goes, "Let's go over the pub." Didn't have an alcoholic drink, but let's go over the pub. She obviously could see that I needed to talk to somebody. And she was very good at saying things like, "You know, you do a really good job. I see how you manage the tip," and all that sort of thing. It was like sort of building my confidence back up. But I knew within my heart of hearts, I couldn't really do what I was doing anymore. So that was hard because I'm the fighter. But you can only fight so much, and you think, you know, I'm not going to do this. So I thought, what do I do? And I think I'd worked for the AA 20 odd years at that point. I thought, so you've got this thing, I don't want to leave, but I'm going to have to leave. So there was that mental thing going on, that battle going on in my head. And I thought, okay, I'm going to put a plan together. I'm going to do this, 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 and this. And at the time, I remembered I was thinking of moving house. And I thought, okay, what I'm going to do, I'm going to wait till I get my mortgage because they ask you how long have you worked for the company. I'm going to say, I'm going to do this first. I'm going to do my mortgage and then I'm going to go. And I put this plan into place and I thought, right, okay, this is what I'm going to do. And I thought, hang on a minute, why do I have to leave? That was a question. Why do I have to leave? Mm. I said, the AA is so big, I can just move departments. Yep. So I don't have to actually leave. Mm. So I started looking for other jobs within the AA, but I'm quite specific. I'm not just going to apply for any and everything. And then something happened with my dad became ill. Mm. So it was like work was one thing. Then my dad became ill. I then had to take some time off work to look after him, but obviously it was quite stressful. And in that time, it made me just reevaluate, actually, sometimes better the devil, you know. Mm. So I thought, let me stay and look for another job within the AA. And then circumstance happened that the person who was doing whatever they were doing then decided to leave. I thought, yes. So sometimes patience is the thing. It's not just to jump in and do it like that. And, you know, the question was, why do I have to leave? Sometimes better the devil you know. And it makes me think now, everything that happens, happens for a reason. Mm. I mean, people say that, don't they? But I really, really believe that. And it was just the thing, my dad became ill and it just gave me the time to come out of work and then just to sit and actually think about what is it I'm actually doing. Mm. I'm still running and I don't like running away from stuff. I want to face it and I want to fight it or whatever you want to use the terminology. Mm. And that's that time out with my dad made me think, actually, I don't want to leave. But changes would have to be made. Yeah. Does that make sense? Yeah, so absolutely. The changes were beyond my control, which helped me. But if that didn't happen, I would have had to do something else as well.
Yeah. It's really interesting. I remember we spoke with, I think it was Fiona Howarth, talked about a member of her team. It was through COVID and she got to a point where she hit a wall and she was going to have to leave to do something different.
Yeah.
And I just think it speaks to a real strength and humility to allow a member of your team in and to then just kind of... And we need that, don't we? That ability to... That I think you spoke about your daughter. We don't have to look up. We can look wherever. Yeah. Everybody is valid.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think it's a lovely testament to the humility that runs through you, that willingness to learn, but also to open up to somebody within your team and then they supported you. And it moves, well, that's amazing. You mentioned some personal stuff. I don't know if you want to go to there as well, the work side of life and personal challenges. Is that something you want to talk about?
I can talk about when my dad was ill. So it's the personal challenge, but then the most important thing, that personal challenge is also then the support you get on the back of it. So my dad was ill, suspected brain infection. Don't know how it happened. It just happened. And my brother became ill. He had a heart attack at the same time. And my dad wasn't quite with it at the time. He was going through his thing. And then my brother passed away.
Oh, sorry.
And then I had to tell my dad that my brother had passed away. If you're thinking he's in hospital.
Yeah.
Going through his own thing.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to have to sit and tell him actually that your eldest son is no longer here. That was a difficult thing to do. And work were really supportive at the time. And, you just think, how am I going to do this? What words do I say? And then not knowing if he's going to actually comprehend what I'm actually saying as well.
How did you keep going?
I didn't really think about it. Because my dad was still alive, do you know what I mean? And I had to be there for him. Yeah. But again, it's the thing about the support, isn't it? Where my aunts, who are my dad's sisters, and they're very religious, and obviously they go to church, and we had all, you know, that sort of support as well, is to say, when you tell him, we will be there with you. Mm. So they were actually came to the room and they were actually with me. Mm. But obviously I had to do the talking.
Yeah.
And it's, again, it's this thing about talking to him in language that he's going to understand, but to make sure that he comprehends what's actually going on, and then go through, this is what I'm going to have to do because you're not in a position to do the funeral. And da-da-da-da. So that was a real difficult time.
Can I ask, what does that teach you about yourself? As you've reflected over time, it must have taught you something about yourself, I'm guessing. Maybe it hasn't. Maybe it's just one of those things that just form us. But is there any conscious lessons that you learn, or things that you learn about yourself?
In one respect, it's always to look on the bright side. Everything's not always a negative. You always have to try and find some positive in that situation, even though sometimes at the time you can't see it. But it does make you think, actually, if I can go through that, I can do anything. So nothing's that bad. If I can go through that and deal with that and all the other ups and downs, I can literally do anything, can't I?
You certainly can. Let's switch it up a bit. Yeah. Right, okay.
Yeah, so
you can do anything.
I can.
Okay. What have you done that you are most proud of?
Oh, gosh.
Because you can do anything.
I can.
So the future, absolutely, you know, it's got Esther Jones written all over it. But to date, what's the thing that, you know, if you were judged today, you'd say, do you know what? I did that really well.
Oh, a couple of things then. So I've just mentioned my daughter. So I am so proud of her. To think, you know, I brought this girl into the world, and to see the woman she is now, amazing. Yeah. So on a personal level, my daughter. Work, there's so many. One that shows patience, which I didn't think I had, but obviously I have got patience, it took me 2 years to secure an account, and it wasn't for want of trying. It was like, are you going to do this yet? Are you going to do this? Are you going to do this? But then there's a very fine balance of how you do that. So I didn't want to be the stalker. And I didn't want to be, so like, I don't really care. It's quite a
balance.
A real balance. Got to a point where I thought, these people aren't going to, they're just stringing me along now. So I thought, you know what? I'm going to have to say, if you don't want to do it, that's fine. Let's not do it. I'm going to close this lead down. When you're ready, if you're ready, come back. And I'd sent the email, crafted it perfectly, sent the email. And then within a week, they came back and said, still want to go ahead. And I thought, yes. And then like a year later, yes. And actually took me 2 years.
Wow.
That's patience, which I didn't think, I didn't...
Now, I know the answer to this question.
Go on, then.
But I'm going to ask it anyway.
Okay.
When you have a success,
yes.
Do you party? Do you celebrate your wins?
No, not actually, no, I don't, actually. It's very short-lived. It's like, yes, next one.
Why is that?
I don't know. It's just like the thrill of, like, I've done it. But I'm still there for the whoever it is.
Yeah.
You know, the support is there, but then it's different. I just think I thrive on the... Oh, can I get this one? Can I get this one? And then it's like, I've set it all up. And what happens next? Like, have they bought anything? Yes, they bought something. I actually go back and say, you know, your account is live. We've done all of this. And then when the first sale comes through, I actually go back and says, we've got the first sale. So they sort of share in that joy as well, because obviously it's their members that are benefiting. So, yes, I'll just move on to the... to the next thing.
And it's a good thing that actually to sort of look at the future. We're sort of living the future at the moment, aren't we? In the sense of this transitional phase.
Yeah.
And you know that we know that the AA has supported this the transition to electric vehicles. It's really important. How do you see your role evolving? What part do you play in that transition as we're going forward? Because obviously we know you've got to look after all drivers, but obviously we're very keen to understand how you see that electrification piece or zero emission piece continuing.
I sort of see my role as, again, it's this human being that works for a large organisation. So if I can talk to somebody and teach them one little thing or two little things or share my experience, that's, I think, my role in all of this. But But I think we have to remember why we're doing what we do. I think that's the thing. Why we're doing what we're doing. Why are we looking at EVs? Why are we looking at alternative fuels? I think that's the sometimes the message that gets lost. We look at the government this, but why are we doing what we're doing? I'm doing it for my grandson and my son's kids and so on. And so that's the reason why we're doing it, isn't it? It's for the planet. So my role in this, if I do any events or I'm speaking to anybody, is to share my experience. And if one person comes away with one different thing that I've said, oh, that lady said, let me go. That's what I think my role is.
That painting that bigger picture for people.
Yeah.
And helping them kind of engage. Because I think a lot of people switch off, don't they? They don't realise that it's about our kids and our grandkids.
We've got to remember why we're doing it.
Yeah, it's a much bigger picture.
Yeah.
So with that in mind, I'm going to give you a magic wand.
Chocolate cake. Rum and Coke.
We've found the level. Yes. We've found the level. So with this magic wand, what would you bring to life with one wave of your magic wand, what would you bring to life that would make a difference, both for you? I think it's great that we think of ourselves and chocolate cake, but also, you know, for the environment that you work in, the work environment you live in, what would you do?
I think the thing for me is, we know electric cars are really expensive. So it's for all those people potentially who may want to transition to an EV and they can't. Mm. How do they do that? So it's to make it magic wand, whatever price point you're coming in at, that they can actually have it, or experience it for themselves. So that's the key thing. So I don't drive an EV, and I had the biggest compliment last week. But you drive an EV, actually, because I'm talking about, like, I know what I'm talking about, I do. And but you drive an EV? I said, no, I don't. She goes, oh, I thought you did. So no, I drive a petrol car. But because I've experienced it, that makes a difference. So it's for all those, whether you're a naysayer or not, or if you want to, it's for them to experience what it's like to drive it, what it's like to charge it, what it's like to do a long distance, and how you then have to rethink and do that planning. What does that actually look like in real life? Because we can talk about it as much as we want. So until that person lives and breathes it, it doesn't actually mean anything to them at all. So that's my magic wand. So for everybody to either test drive, experience, be able to afford.
Amazing.
Wouldn't that be wonderful?
Oh, brilliant.
Electric vehicle transport for all. Love it. Right, okay.
Or so, alternative fuels.
Alternative fuels. Yeah. Okay, let's go with it. And do you know what? Petrol and diesel, they're not the devil's work.
No.
I mean, they are...
They've served their purpose, haven't they?
I think so, for over 100 years. Yeah. So, you know, let's move towards cleaner and better. But,
yeah,
point taken. Okay, so, in time, somebody's going to have to stand up and say some wonderful things about you and your life. How will they describe your life? How will they describe Esther Jones? Forget work and, frankly, forget family and all those other things. The person that sits in front of us now, how will they describe you?
I would say... I'm going to have to go family as well, because that is important. So I would say a good mom, but also a very good friend, I think. And I have to say hard worker. So those good mom, good friend, and a hard worker. I think those are my three things they would say.
Can't argue with that.
And on that note, it's great to have celebrated this time with you. I think we've got a really good picture, not only of Esther, but of also a really good organisation that you work for, that have supported you in tandem, or a lesser role, but with your family as well. Your family have obviously been a tremendous force that have supported you, that you've loved passionately, and, you know...
Don't always love them, Paul, don't get me wrong. that's another story. Let's not go there.
That's for a later podcast. But... it's been a real joy to get to know a little bit about Esther and about your approach to life and what you've brought to the AA, because I think you have brought Esther to the AA. The AA has been a great place for you to grow and thrive, and clearly you're going to continue to grow and thrive in this organization and support the transition. I love your magic wand, the way that those three things that you brought to life there, that accessibility, that affordability, and that experience, you know, really so important in this transition to zero emission vehicles, whatever they are, because of the climate, because of air quality, because of a quality of life that we all look for and we want, not only for us, but for our kids too. So Esther, I'm going to say thank you. John, have you got some final thoughts?
Well, if I'm really honest, yeah, I do. You know, you're quite good at this. And when you're good at something, you tend to get spotted and people say, come here, tap on the shoulder. Would you like to do? What's your dream job in the AA? So if somebody came and tapped you on the shoulder and said, Esther, you're so good at this and we recognise your skill, what is it you'd most like to do for us? What would you say?
Oh, my gosh. It'd have to be something where I'm actually just talking to people. Mm-hmm. Which I do anyway, but not always on a face-to-face. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? So I think something like that, I don't know what that job looks like, but I've got to say the job I do now, I love.
So can you see yourself as a leader? Do you see yourself as that person who could walk the floor of this wonderful building that we're in and know those people's names and make them feel special and valued? Is that
I wouldn't know their names, but I would make them feel special. I'm not going to lie to you. I could make them feel special. I could make everybody. I'd like to make everybody feel special, but I wouldn't necessarily know their names.
But you do. I mean, you walk into a room and it just lights up.
Yeah.
So you do have a real special leadership quality, Esther. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Paul.
Well, Esther, thank you again. And everybody, check out Esther. You can connect with her on LinkedIn. You can clearly see the passion that she demonstrates for everything that she does. And you will have somebody that will look after you from an AA perspective. That's fantastic. AA, great organization. Of course, check out all the information online about those guys. Finally, head on over to theevcafe.org and check out all of the other podcasts. There's some amazing conversations, much more like, that's not a phrase, is it?
Let's not go there.
Much similar to this conversation too, but not in person. Esther,
Thank you. It's great
to have been in person with you, and check out the next one. Have a great day, everybody.